I would like to welcome you all back to a brand new episode of Catch Some Z's podcast. By now, you understand the inconsistencies, and all of that will be explained later on in this episode. Don't hold it against me. Move on. I am excited to talk about today's topic because, one, I promised it to you in season four, which was 2 years ago. And good things come to those who wait. So it's a wonderful topic, and I'm joined by an incredible guest. You know her, you love her. She's here with me in person, live from my living room. Folks, please give it up for the one and the only, Samara.
Yay! Woo!
Yay!
Hey, Catch Some Z's. Hi.
Hey, Samara. So today's topic is none other than the icon, the legend, Galleria Garibaldi. If you don't know her, pause this episode, do some research, learn that you do know her, and then come back, because we are going to talk about our queen from our childhood. If you don't know, this year, this August, was the 20th anniversary of the Cheetah Girls movie. It was the 17th anniversary of the Cheetah Girls 2. And Galleria, made popular and played by the one and only Raven Simone. Excuse me, Simone Ye. Was a character that was very important to me personally and arguably very crucial to my development and my childhood. And Samara would feel the same. Mm-hmm. So today's episode, we are going to talk about Galleria, why she was important, how she's impacted our lives, and what that looks like for us as some late 20-somethings. So hop in. Today's going to get very cheetalicious. So listeners and Samara, first, just to get everyone acquainted, I think it's appropriate for us to kind of go over a little bit of some context about Galleria's character. From the first and second movies, that's where she was featured. I personally have not seen the third movie. I don't plan to. Galleria wasn't in it. And to me, that didn't make a lot of sense because Galleria was the glue of the group. But that's not what this episode is about. Well, actually, yes, it is. But it's not about the third movie. So, you know, watch that if you want to, but I won't.
I wouldn't.
Right. So to go over some background about Galleria, again, if you don't know what the Cheetah Girls is, I don't know that this episode or this podcast really is for you. Just
a word.
Just kind of straight like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if maybe you haven't seen the movie in a while, here's a refresher. So four young girls in the heart of New York, Manhattan, have dreams of becoming pop superstars, led by Galleria Garibaldi, Chuchi, a.k.a. Well, Chuchi is her a.k.a. Damn, what's her government? Chanel.
Chanel.
Chanel Simmons, played by Adrienne Bailon.
Her last name is Simmons?
Yeah. Daddy Black.
Apparently.
Chanel Simmons, played by Adrienne Bailon. Dorinda
Orphan. Dorinda the Orphan.
Dorinda
White.
Nope. It's okay. We'll figure it out. But played by Sabrina Bryant, who is a Latina in real life, but Dorinda's character was, for the most part, white. And Aquanette, last name Williams? No, that's Keely's last name. Played by Keely Williams, round out our group. And the lore of the Cheetah Girls also is that Galleria and Chanel, divas since diapers. And so they were the singers. They were best friends. They were singing together since forever. And then right before they went to high school at Manhattan Magnet, Performing Arts High School, fictional, They met Dorinda and they met Aqua, and they rounded out the group for the sake of harmonies and choreography, so they became a full-fledged girl group. So
Aquanet Walker.
Aqua Walker and Dorinda Thomas. I should have known that.
Right. I did know that.
Right. It's just been a while. But the movie's about, I mean, our episode's about Galleria. So I'm giving you this context because the first movie is, to me, iconic. Everyone obviously loves the second movie because Barcelona, great, love it. Better, you know, choreography. It just seems like a more polished film. But for me, like for me personally, the first movie got heart.
Hell yeah.
It got spirit. You know?
Grit.
Yes. And the story of the come up is just like really evident, even in the production value to me. So I'm always going to love it. I don't think the first movie was a shitty film. Because it wasn't. But the conflict arises when the ladies are presented with an opportunity to essentially achieve their dreams in a very meaningful way. And Galleria steps up. And as the leader of the group, she starts to take some more initiative. And the rest of the girls don't really like that. So let's talk about some of our favorite iconic Galleria moments from that first film. You go.
Well, one of my favorites is definitely when she's talking to her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like about to walk Toto. And she says something to her dad. Her dad is, what is he?
Italian.
He's Italian. and the interaction between her and her parents was so wholesome. It gave very much only child.
Mm-hmm.
And even if she had a sibling that we didn't know about, it did not matter because she was the main character. And that's how I felt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have 6 siblings, technically. And, you know, not to say that none of them matter, but but I'm the star.
Right, right.
And you could tell that she was the star in her parents' eyes, and she knew it,
mm-hmm.
and she used it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's missing calls. She's mm-hmm. missing voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting things wrong. Her mama get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because she's the star and made up for it in every way possible throughout the rest of the movie.
I mean, yes, I agree. Some of my favorite Galleria moments from the first film, anything with her parents, 100%. And I especially love coming home after their opening number performance for the film, which was them performing at a local birthday party. Her and Chanel saw one of their favorite pop stars' new CD was about to drop. Her music was playing outside the store. They busted immediately into the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
A crowd surrounded them. People were so impressed. Right before she remembered that she forgot to walk her dog. And I said, you know, that is absolutely something, not even that I would do, but that I have done.
Right.
Multiple times in a variety of settings. The fact that she just kind of went immediately into star mode. Because once she was having fun, because she was into that anyway, too. So, yeah, that's Galleria. And people are citing, especially now on social media, because it's funny too, like the acting is super fun to watch. Once things start heating up for the girls, they're meeting with Hotshot record producer, they're having an opportunity to record a demo, and it's gonna come at the expense of the school talent show, which is what they've been working towards. And it's the scene, of course, when Aqua tells Chanel, you need to talk to her.
She should have smacked her.
Yeah. Yeah. But for me, I'm gonna save that part for later. Let's talk about why the girls were upset. I'm gonna talk about why in the movie it was set up for the girls to be upset, but then I wanna talk about for real why they were upset, right? From like our Galleria perspective. So in the film, the girls were upset because Galleria is over the top. That's a quote. And she was, again, taking initiative when I, you know, she was taking initiative. She was being bossy. Okay, yes, sure. And the girls were seeing a side of her that they were more or less unfamiliar with, I guess. And there was a lot of sass present in Galleria's communication, for sure. And I think that's really my only critique. Because even as I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to like tell the story. It's still, it's not making sense to me why everybody was as mad as they were. Nothing that a simple conversation couldn't have solved. But again, they're supposed to be teenagers, freshmen in high school. I don't expect them to be masters of communication at that point, but.
But there always has to be a boss. Like, and for some people, it's just innate.
Yeah.
And with Galleria, it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, this is the person that we're going to follow. But also, if you don't want to follow her, baby, I guess you're not going to be a cheetah girl then.
It's very simple, I think.
And they were corny. They didn't have to be. That was my bigger thing. Mm-hmm. Like, the two who are not Galleria and Chuchi, y'all don't have to be here.
Yeah.
It was just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, we brought you in because you white and you were orphan and you dance very nice. Aqua, you're from Texas.
They needed Aqua for the the low harmonies.
The ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, they could still do it without her.
Yeah. And so this has been heavy on my mind even before the anniversaries came up, because I watch the Cheetah Girls often, like very frequently. And I also watched it a lot when it first came out. Like, I had a VHS that I didn't buy from the store of it, and then I also had the DVD for the second movie, and I had like the CD, like the soundtrack. I had a karaoke version. At one point, my room did its best to mirror Galleria's bedroom. I was just missing a keyboard and a microphone. But I had the silk pajamas, I had the cheetah sheets. And you know, I was Galleria, and my mom will remind me that. She's been reminding me of that a lot these last couple weeks, that I took being a cheetah girl very seriously. And you know, Galleria in the first movie especially got a lot of heat towards the end when things didn't work out for the sake of their professional dreams. And to me, what I see is she recognized, once things started to not be sweet, she peeped game and she said, okay, we need to pivot, right? So first they're auditioning for the talent show. Jackal Johnson comes in. He's like, I want to record your demo. Oh my gosh, this is what we've been working for. Let's go for it. And the girls are like, we need to take some time. We need to take a minute to think. Da 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 da. Think about what? Think about what, Del? And then they go and have the meeting. Mama Cheetah is there, making sure things are sweet. They go have a meeting with Jackal without moms. That's when they try to pull the okie doke. And they don't want the girls to record a Cheetah Girls demo. They want the girls to record a Global Get Down demo. Whole different vision, completely separate. They're not even trying to hear these young ladies.
We go all around the world. Mm-hmm. We go all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Where we stop, nobody knows. Cause we don't care which way it goes. Do do do.
It was shitty.
They could have kept that.
Very much so. And so Galleria said, well, clearly this is not our art. This is not our vision. This is not who we are. And now the girls want to switch around and say, Galleria, don't we need to talk about this? Galleria, you didn't even give us a chance to think. Think about what, though? Because, again, if we have a vision, we have a plan, and someone comes in and interrupts that 100%, and we are not obligated to participate, what are we doing? Galleria said, okay, well, great. Now we're freed up to do the talent show. Galleria, just stop. Everyone is like, I can't... We can't trust you anymore. All of this at the record studio, mind you. If you're going to have this conversation, do it outside. But no. No coof, right? And then it's like, you know, this whole emotional thing. And everyone was talking about her being so bossy. Which then brings me to the second movie. Because the whole thing was, Galleria used to be so bossy and she's better now. Which she was, because her biggest defense in the second film was trying to get the girls to maintain a rehearsal schedule for a performance that they had.
Imagine me being the enemy. Because I want us to be great. Imagine, well, I have been the enemy.
Right.
I have been the enemy because I wanted us to be great.
I've seen it.
And, you know, I don't apologize for it. Because if this is what brings out the success, this is what brings out the success. I could be nicer. They lucky. Galleria was nice. That was my problem. Galleria was not mean at all. She was just about her business.
Very much so.
But y'all are not about your business, so that's why you're offended. That's why you're upset. That's why you scream and cry and throw up.
All of this. And in Spain, right. So the second movie, it was great because now we're international. Ooh, strut. Like, all of these, it's wonderful. The girls are juniors in high school. They just graduated. Chanel is being hard-headed because her mom fell in love with a rich Parisian man who's from Spain.
She gotta wear pearls and meet the family.
You know, and she don't want that because she got her own issues to solve in therapy. But her mom tells her, baby girl, we're going to Spain for the summer so I can hang out with my man. Hopefully he proposes to me. Chanel hates that. But then, as fate would have it, there's the New Voices Music Festival in Spain that could get the Cheetah Girls in front of a lot of people. Galleria says, okay, hey team, what if we go with Chanel to Spain so she don't gotta be alone? We compete in the festival, we win, our dreams come true, and we're in Barcelona. Everyone said, okay, sounds good. Then these young ladies even went so far as to orchestrate a situation so that all the mothers had to do was say yes. No expenses to them. Everything was paid for. Everything was handled. They flying over on points. Half the people was already going to be there anyway. All they had to do was audition. They auditioned over the phone. They got in, kind of, sort of. And so now we're in Spain. It's a couple weeks to the festival, if that. It was really given it was 4 days away.
Right.
And everybody wanted to go play in Barcelona. Here's my thing. Especially now as a grown-up. We don't know how long everyone was scheduled to be out there. So for all I know, they went out, let's say New York schools get out. Let's say New York school graduation is June 22nd. They was in Spain by June 27th. You still have until September before school starts. I know you got your summer programs and this and that and blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. But it's not like you going to Spain for like this super small limited time. Like Luke is paying for y'all. You're at his villa. You don't have to pay for lodging. You bought your flight. You know when the festival is. So it's not like you can't spend a week preparing for the festival and then spend literally the rest of your time in Spain.
Your entire summer if you wanted to.
Like just being in Spain. But no. Dorinda had to fall in love with Joaquin. She wanted to go to the dance studio. She's supposed to be choreographing for the new festival. She tangoing. Okay, fine. I get it. Summer romance. No problem.
Summer loving. Happy a blast.
Chanel. She meet Marisol and Lola, the snitch manager mother. Okay. You so busy trying to hang out with Marisol and learn about Spain and Barcelona even though you hated it. You not making it to rehearsals because, oh, Marisol wants to, oh, Marisol, oh, Lola thinks that, okay, so, even though I came out with, here with you as your best friend because you didn't want to be alone, you hanging out with this other girl and her mom because, what, they said that you have a nice voice?
Because they speak Spanish, you're racist.
And they speak, like, colonial Spanish, so let's really get into it, right?
The Queen's Spanish.
Okay. And then Aqua having a fun time with Galleria's mom doing fashion things, which is fine. Her mom is cool. Lynn Whitfield, queen, incomparable. I would be gagged too. However, Lynn Whitfield is not participating in, excuse me, Mama Cheetah is not participating in the New Voices Festival. Aqua, you are.
But she should have her head on a swivel. Like, ma, dead ass?
Yes. And so where was Galleria while Dorinda is at the studio with Joaquin? Getting mad at him for not taking him to his lunch meetings with his co-workers, or when Chanel is with Lola and Marisol doing whatever they do in Spain, or when Aqua's at the fashion studio. Oh, Galleria was in the house on Luke's piano arranging and writing music for the New Voices Festival
and was eating it up too. Bad. She was like getting it in full body Mozart, come on.
And then everyone would come in the house and she's like, ooh, hey, great, we can rehearse. Oh no, sorry Galleria, I gotta go do.
How dare you. That and that is the moment,
yes,
where I would have got ignorant,
right?
Like very disrespectful,
right? And so the party's already begun, they've already strutted, but now it's over. So now they sing it on the fountains on Luke's property. Twere it me, somebody would have got pushed into the fountain. I would have been singing on the balcony. I would have been at the girls' bedrooms beating them on the head with their pillows. Because what are we doing?
The throw pillow too, like not the bed pillow.
No, because they had throw pillows in their rooms in the villa. Like this is, how does everything align for you in such a beautiful way? No cost, free vacation. All you got to do is something you love to do, which is perform, and you can't even do that? Ungrateful. And so Galleria makes the executive decision, okay, I'm the only one here who's taking this seriously. So I'm actually going to remove myself from the equation because critical thinker, she remembered what happened last time. Last time she tried to stand up for everybody and make a decision that made sense for their careers, they turned against her. And if it wasn't for Toto, they wouldn't have come and been friends again. So this time she said, clearly I'm the problem. So I'm going to go. And then they had the nerve to call her dramatic. Because she left? After a week of, like, no rehearsal?
For what we're here for.
For what we're literally here for.
Mm-mm. I don't like it because it's like, do you... I can't sing your part for you live. So... And I get it. We're young. We're having a good time. We are in a country we've never been in. There are all these different factors. But the bottom line is we had a purpose for being here. Can we focus? No? Okay, well then I'm leaving. So why y'all mad at me for leaving? Y'all aren't focused on this, so why do I have to be focused on it? I'm going home.
Because everybody else got a hobby out here.
Everybody else got a hobby, something to do. I don't got nothing to do, so I'm going home.
Like, because this is what I came here for. I don't know about y'all, but this is what I came here to do. Like, and so that's why Galleria was never wrong. I'm going to take a water break. And then we're going to talk about how this impacts our real lives. So I want to touch back on Samara. You said, imagine me being the enemy because I want to see us win. And then we realize we don't have to imagine. We've seen it in real life.
Like, actively play out in our faces.
My mom has been telling me, again, like, within these last couple months, I've been talking about the movie. I was giving her basically this very essay, like, Galleria wasn't wrong. And she's like, no, she wasn't. And you've been on her side. You've had the same energy vibes since you were a tiny tot as well. I'm like, wow, really? She's like, yeah. And she's been giving me examples. Samara, I'd like examples both from your childhood as well as your adulthood, please, of how you are the Galleria of your life.
Girl, it was in the sixth grade. It was the talent show.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have other examples from when I was actually a lot younger, but this one is specific because I was like, my friends were going to tear my head off. We were singing Week by SWV.
Right.
I coordinated the looks.
Yeah.
I coordinated the accessories. Mm-hmm. I gave everybody their part to sing. For those that couldn't hit their note, I was giving them, you know, alternate ways to do it. Mm-hmm. We were harmonizing. Because when I was little, I kind of had perfect pitch. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I damaged my vocal cords that changed. So I'm like, I'm telling y'all, I know how it's supposed to sound.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. And it was not hitting them notes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, there's no award for the talent show. You don't win anything in our sixth grade talent show at like Kidney Avenue. You just participate.
Yes.
And, you know, they were embarrassing me.
Yeah.
They were embarrassing me bad. So we had practices, and then our substitute teacher, she was a singer. So she was coming in, and she was trying to help us. And I was like, oh, good. Someone who, a professional.
Yes.
Someone who knows what they're doing. And they were listening to her. You know, at one point, they were like, we quit. And I was like, wow. So then I started helping a different group because mm-hmm. they wanted to choreograph their dance to Tiffany's Evans. Is it Tiffany Evans? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Promise Ring?
Mm-hmm.
Child, I had that choreo tight.
Mm-hmm.
All in the sixth grade. I am in charge of everybody's set.
Mm-hmm.
And my group finally came back to me because they knew what side they bread was buttered on.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and we performed sitting on chairs with the mic stands.
Right, right.
Big hoop earrings. And they still didn't hit the right notes. So that was my point. We needed the rehearsal because you still got up here and did this wrong.
Comfortably.
So, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was from childhood. I think I was 12. A menace.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was, how old am I now? 26?
Mm-hmm.
Lord. So fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
there has been numerous fashion shows at school where I have been a part of it, and you know, I've been a coach, and you know, I was a president of Monsoon Dance Crew, the only hip hop team at the University of New Haven. But with the fashion show, it's different because that's what I love. Like, yeah, that's my heart. And you know, I had models really coming in, they talking, but they walk sucks. Like, yeah, what are you talking about if your walk is garbage?
Yeah.
What are you talking about if your poses are trash? There's nothing. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was mean.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think Galleria should have been meaner. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're singing. They don't know their parts. Mm-hmm. They're not focused.
Right.
Tell them to get their head on it so they'll get out.
Yes.
But in recent years, man, I do this. I was about to cuss.
If you want.
No, but I'm trying not to.
Okay.
I do this at work. You know, I tell my team, like, this is mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
We can have an event and they're like, two people showed up. This is great. You're excited about two people showing up when we have caseloads of 80 people?
Mm-hmm.
I am not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, but it's so good. And I was like, no, this is actually horrible. And I don't think this is anything to be proud of.
Yeah.
So I am often the villain, but it's just because we will be perfect.
Yes.
Like, to me, I just crave getting as close to perfection as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then learning from that experience and growing and, you know, being better for the next time. Some mm-hmm. people really get comfortable with whatever they got.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're mediocre for life.
Yeah.
You could be mediocre, but baby, my name can't be on it too.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a challenge. It's a thought challenge, not an actual challenge, because I too share my stories in a second. But I think the issue I'm having is that I see it a lot more so. And I guess there's a lot of folks who I engage with to a degree for whatever reason, whether it's in work or whether it's something for leisure, what have you, somewhere in between, where there's just no commitment. And me and you both, Sammy, like, we grew up doing things, like activities that required commitment, discipline, determination. Like, I was doing martial arts from before I was 3. You were doing cheerleading, you were dancing, you were cooking classes, you were singing, you was doing mm-hmm. a whole lot of things, right? And
all of it.
And, you know, yes, fun, extracurricular, ooh, learn something new. But also, these things are very much performance-based, and it's like, yeah, you do a good job because you know, you show up every day, but you also need to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a very early age, I've just always correlated, like, good performance and commitment and all of these things. Like, it all goes hand in hand. So it's like, if I'm not disciplined at a craft, that shows I'm not committed. And if I'm not committed at a craft, then I'm not going to perform well. If I don't perform well, it means I don't care.
And then what's the point?
Then why am I here?
Because at the end of the day, you could dance for Newburgh Performing Arts Academy all you wanted to. But if you were mediocre, baby, you were in the back.
Yeah.
And some people were okay with that. But me, I was working hard to be in the front.
You know? And again, if you want to do it just for fun, that's important too, right?
But do it for free, because classes are expensive.
Right.
And that's for any sports, taekwondo, jujitsu, it doesn't matter what you are doing. Those things cost.
Yeah.
You wasting your parents' money because you want to be mediocre and get a E for effort trophy? Please.
No.
Participation ribbon? Absolutely mm-hmm. not.
No. And, you know, I think I'm allergic to that. And that became very evident for me. I would say probably around college, actually, because for the most part, growing up, the things I was involved with, like, people were like me, you know, they wanted that spot in the front. They wanted, you know, that main role. They wanted whatever recognition. So we were all fighting for it, but we were also, like, supporting one another in the journey, in the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And we also recognized that, like, I mean, I was never in the back unless it was a height thing.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, sometimes I might be in the middle, though. But I would also recognize, like, no, because I didn't put my best foot forward. And that's just tea. I'm not going to pretend like, oh, well, I would have got, no, I didn't do what I needed to do, point blank, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in spot number 7 instead of spot number 3. Like,
and that's corny.
Right. And And as a kid, the story my mom has been bringing up specifically is that I was in fact a cheetah girl. Now, was I performing anywhere? No. But was I having rehearsals? Yes. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell the story. I was in my bedroom and I either had the movie playing or I had the CD and I was doing the choreo. And then there were a group of friends that I did have that when they came over, all right, this is your spot. Here's your move. 5, 6, 7, 8. And my mom tells the story. It's so funny that, you know, one time one of the girls was over and her mom was over hanging out with my mom while we were in the back doing our thing. And her daughter came out upset because I was Galleria and because I was in charge. And so the girl's mom is having a conversation with my mom like, oh, why is she gonna be the one in charge? And my mom, my rider for real, my mom was confused that this question was even being brought up. Because my mom is like, well, who coordinated rehearsal? Like, fully aware that we're not going anywhere with the performance. Fully aware, but she's the one who also is in the house watching me watch the film twice a day, every day.
So she knows what it takes.
She's the one who, when I'm having solo rehearsals by myself, and she comes into my bedroom, and I scream at her for interrupting rehearsals, and she gets scared because, damn, I shouldn't have interrupted rehearsals to the six-year-old. She's like, well, why? Who else would it be? Because y'all not, y'all kids not doing this at home. Mine is. And that made me laugh because I kind of forgot about that. But then it helps explain why, for example, like my jobs, like any job that I've had in the last 4 years, there's been a component of event planning, for example. And it's only in my current role am I actually, that's a lie. But in my current role, I'm more responsible for executing events than I have been in the past. But even in the past, I have organized like full-on galas adjacent type events, and when I'm giving people their marching orders, I'm getting questions during the planning process of people who don't even need to be there. Oh, well, why are you doing this or why are you doing that? I'm like, well, because if we do it your way, it's not going to look good. If we do what y'all have been doing, no one's going to come. Oh, well, you know, Z, you should be a little bit nicer in your delivery.
Please.
I mean, that's fine, but give that feedback to me after we execute our successful event. Or Samara was on the hip hop team. I was on the step team. I had to keep my mouth shut very recently when a certain artist had some allegations and lawsuits come against them for harsh conditions in dance rehearsal because.
Listen, I'm not saying redacted was right or wrong. I'm just saying that I run a tight ship.
Okay.
And if she's hiring, perhaps I'll apply. I don't know.
Just because, like, until the super weird stuff came out, I couldn't really identify an issue with what was being the accused, the issue. I thought everybody knew what it was.
The kinky stuff is above me, but, right. You know, to some extent, nah, I ain't going there. Never mind. What I was going to essentially say is that in that business, mm-hmm. there are times and there's a time and place for everything. And it seems like often, and I'm not saying in this situation, mm-hmm. I know how y'all like to tussle. I don't want to get canceled. I don't want my degree snatched.
Right.
But in the business, there are just a lot of things done through invitation. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things done through, you know, hey, are you interested? Will you come? Come here. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, whatever. Baby, I was just saying no. So if she wants to hire me, I'm not doing that. Right. Get away from me. Hit the stage.
Focus.
Focus, bitch. That's it.
But, you know, yeah, you know, I've never been a part of any type of group thing. I didn't do sports in high school, but I was in performance-based things, and I've never been in any performance-based thing where it was just come to have a good time. Mm-mm. We, mind you, trained by people who were, like, not trained professionals, but still, everyone was committed. But we would have folks who would come and join us who were, in fact, trained professionals, And I'm like, you know, if someone is coming all the way from New York City to come to my little New Jersey suburban after school program that we gotta like fundraise money for to watch us dance, I'm gonna do bad? No, I'm gonna do good.
Because I want to get hired.
Like, I don't know where this could lead. But even still, you're gonna remember me for good reason. Also, I love a good compliment. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I got to college and we was on a step team, when I was a measly little freshman trying out auditioning, you know, people were dropping like flies because even the audition process was very tough. It was very physically demanding. And, you know, nobody was coddling you to do well. They were like, are you going to join a winning team or are you going to quit? And I was going to join a winning team, right? And I didn't see no problems, though. It wasn't like I left step practice like someone was mean to me and they hurt my feelings. It was just like, nah, I just got to make sure that I bring it so that way no one has anything to say about me.
Period.
And then when the tables turned and then I was in leadership positions, ooh, it's a new breed of people out there because we had some folk who, well, it would just be nice if you, whoa, what?
Are you speaking?
Like, what does that have to do with anything? Hit the wall. and anything in between, right? And so I keep that energy in all of my spaces. I don't have to be working out. I could be in my office job hiring caterers and try to find decorations and, oh, well, Zaniya, what if we did, well, what if we didn't? Because who's the one in charge? If you were in charge, then you would have done it, but you're not. So, and people don't like that.
But, and this is my thing, because this literally happened at work yesterday. Someone proposed an idea and it's like, cool, that's great. That idea has not worked in the past. Why would I waste the money that we have? I'm in charge of the funds. Mm-hmm. Why would we waste the money on something that hasn't worked? Well, we want to give, you know, clients the chance to X, Y, and Z. Well, I don't want to give them a chance to do it because they haven't proved that they care enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they go through a lot. The world is going through a lot.
Yeah.
So all I'm hearing is excuses, excuses, excuses. What am I going to do with all of these excuses?
Yeah.
Because when people need something, when people... And this is my thing about the whole this whole concept. Mm-hmm. When people see the personal gain, mm-hmm. that is when they're able to make things more tangible. They mm-hmm. are able to see your vision, you know, whatever. If they can't, they quite literally can no longer be around me.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't see the vision for what it is mm-hmm. outside of your personal gain, I need you to see it as a group. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it for anything more than what you're going to get out of it, mm-hmm. this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who move that way.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about that Spain, man. They, bro, right. They went to Spain and saw exactly what they all could have had as individuals mm-hmm. rather than understanding that if we win as a group, you win even more.
Yeah.
Man, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far,
go together.
Go together. Oh my God.
Shout out to the ambiance in the space. A little ASMR. ASMR. And to that point, especially about people not understanding or having to see tangible evidence, right? Let's get into faith. Okay, because that's also what I'm learning. And really what it was is Galleria had crazy faith if you want to take it to church. Mm. Because, folks, I am also reading the Cheetah Girls book series. If you didn't know, it was a, I think, 12 or 16 part book series before it was a movie. And I've got the first four on my bedstand, on my nightstand. And again, Galleria's history and lore, she was very much doing this. It wasn't she like, oh, you know what would be cute if I was a pop star? She said, no. She was like me to her. Like, she was watching, oh my God, was Karma's Children, I think it was, instead of Destiny's Child in the book.
Shut up. Yeah.
And the hit single was Yes, Yes, Yes.
Period. Wow, they really did that.
Oh, like, ooh. But no, she was watching these people and she was like, oh yeah, no, like, I could do that. I'm going to. And her mom, like in the movie, was a fashion designer. So she would, like, use her spare fabric to make Galleria little costumes and stuff. Chanel was her best friend and she kind of looped her into it at a very early age, but then Galleria took it really seriously. Again, if you look in the movie, Galleria is the only one with a home studio. She got her bed, she got her makeup, and she got her keyboard, her MPC, her microphone, a printer so she can print album cover demos, and also a CD scanner so she can record the music. Like, 2003, 14, right? And when she get off the phone, at the end of the day, after she kiki in with her friends, she's on her Zoom. Like, she's on her Zoom. And she believed from that, like, that very early age, oh, like, no, we are going to be grabbing Grammys. We're going to be dripping in ice. Prada or Nada, like, all of these things. She wasn't just saying it to be fun, to be cute, to be quirky. She 100% believed in her brand. Like, all of, she had a journal with, like, her song lyrics, but also, like, the Cheetahlicious doctrines of, like, this is how a cheetah girl behaves, this is what she does, doesn't do, like, all of these things. I can't say that the rest of them had that. And so, when it came time for, oh, it's time to record our demo, literally, to her, it was like, yeah, duh, because we're the Cheetah Girls. Like, don't you know? Ask about us. But everybody else wasn't on that type time, so they're looking at her sideways because, what do you mean? We're just teenagers. We don't know anything. Blah, 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 blah. We're not ready. Huh?
And if you feel that way, get from around me. Like, I don't want nobody to ever tell me that your age is holding you back. Your, I don't care. Oh, well, I haven't been doing this long enough. Baby, I'm always the youngest in charge, and I'm cool with that. Fine. That is fine.
It's fine.
Oh, we're just teenagers. And you could take directions, can't you?
So, man. And now at my big age, I see Galleria for what she was, which was a boss, who was dedicated, because I have that same, me and Samara both, and our friend group, the whole team, we've done things that, like, technically we shouldn't have been able to do based off of our age, based off of us being Black women, based off of our geography, based off of, like, pick a thing. There's plenty of things that we shouldn't do, and yet everybody who knows us and people who don't will tell you, oh yeah, they're gonna get it done, because we are.
By any means necessary. If I am not qualified for a job on paper, but I want the job and the job is meant for me, no matter what it is, corporate, professional, academic, it doesn't matter. If I'm meant to have the job, God is going to qualify me.
That's it. So who am I to then move in a way that's, like, scary and, oh, well, I don't really know. No. If it's mine, it's mine.
Then I'm gonna take it. I'm not gonna just have it. I'm going to snatch it.
And I guess that's just the part that is very confusing for me now, because I've had the time to be an adult and make a lot of decisions that only impact me. You know, I don't have to wait for a parent's permission. You know, I'm not waiting on like other family members or anything like that. I'm not, like, restricted to anyone but myself right now, which is a beautiful era. Like, if you ever have the opportunity to enjoy that, I implore you. It's great. But now, because of, you know, this time with myself, all the reflecting that I'm doing, yeah, it really makes me think, you know, why would I ever be responsible for holding myself back? Because if I believe that I'm going to be grabbing Grammys and doing all the things that I say I'm going to do, like, what is stopping me from feeling that way? Another thing my mother brought up, you know, you all know by now, I'm pursuing an entertainment management career. I'm doing it little by little, day by day, and have been for the last few years. That's consistent with me at 8 years old. My mother will tell you. And she's like, you know, there's a couple of things in your life that you've been consistent about, and you said you were going to do it. I told her when I was young, I'm going to Paris. Where did I go this summer? How did I go?
Period.
Just cause, like,
period.
You know, I said I was going to do it. I did it.
Come on, follow through.
Like, you know what I mean? That's just very simple. 1 + 1 = 2. I don't know much about algebra, but I know. And
it's me.
Okay. And you. But Why would I sell myself short? Why would I count myself out? This world is already doing that because I'm a woman, because I'm young, because I'm black, because I'm this, because I'm that. So why do I need to participate in it? That doesn't make sense to me. And for a long time, I did buy into it. You know, self-loathing and, oh, blah, blah, blah. I can't do X, Y, Z. Actually, no. Actually, you can. Actually, we all can. They don't want you to know that you can, but you can. And I think also, Samara, let me know if you've ever experienced this in interpersonal relationships, friends, lovers, etc. There have been a few instances where this is the same energy I bring to a friendship, the same energy I bring to a relationship, and it's very appealing to people who perhaps are not used to it until it's not. Mm-hmm. And then the relationship dissolves, either as a direct byproduct or just, you know, as an effect of, you know, you being dedicated to what you are dedicated about, you also kind of wanting that for that person in your life, and them more or less not seeing that vision and feeling now like you are, in fact, either bullying them, being mean, barking at them, or, you know, at least in my experience, they interpreted that energy from me as me critiquing them for not being enough, when in fact it was me just trying to encourage them to, you know, live out their dreams the way they want to. Any thoughts?
I think that for me, so over the years, I definitely have worked on my delivery, because you can't just be yelling at folks. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yes, I get it. I do be wanting to yell at folks, but, you know, even at work, I am much nicer than I could be. Mm. Like, I'm nicer out loud than I am in my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially romantically, mm-hmm. I've been learning that, one, everybody don't gotta be as great as I see them in my head. Mm-hmm. Because I see so many people being so many things, and that might not be their dream. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to learn that as long as it's not impacting me negatively, mm-hmm. you live your life how you want to live your life. Mm-hmm. But also don't get mad at me when I'm moving a certain way because I believe in myself. Mm-hmm. You could believe yourself in yourself, and I could believe in you, and it could look totally different. Mm-hmm. I want to believe in you how you believe in you, and I want to help you elevate like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less. But I need that same regard back, because don't tell me I'm doing too much or I'm moving funnier, because I've had those experiences. Sometimes I think that there is a lot of jealousy in mm-hmm. relationships that people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a big part of it. But for me, I have been working on my delivery to make sure that I'm not trying to make you feel small. If you want to be a basketball player, I just want you to, you want to be a basketball player, but you ain't been in the gym in days. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to encourage you. But if you don't want encouragement, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. You know, friends, family, again, I got all these siblings, and you know, I can tell you something that I see for every single person, what I want them to do for the rest of their lives. And it doesn't matter, because if they don't want to do that, mm-hmm. they don't want to. Mm-hmm. I just want to encourage them how they want to be encouraged. But please make sure you believe in me the way I need you to believe in me, mm-hmm. because I believe. Mm-hmm. And the more we all actively believe, the further I'll go.
Amen. Thank you for that. I'm going to take another water break, and then we're going to come back with a lightning round. Thank you. Okay, boom. Lightning round, Galleria Garibaldi edition. So first, what would you do, Samara? So pick a scene, any scene, that you would have handled things differently than Galleria did in movies 1 or 2.
Oh. In the scene where she returned, mm-hmm. I don't think that she made enough noise.
In the second movie?
In the second movie, mm-hmm. yes. I do not think that she made enough noise. In the first movie, I don't think that she made enough noise, because y'all came for Toto, now y'all up here singing with me, whatever. But the second movie, it was like, y'all look pathetic. Mm-hmm. And she should have told them that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just don't apologize.
It's getting loud.
This is a safe space.
Thank you. no, I absolutely think that people will continue to treat you a certain way because mm-hmm. you are not setting certain boundaries. Mm-hmm. People will not be held accountable if you don't hold them accountable mm-hmm. because they don't see their wrongs. Mm-hmm. Like, why did it take me to leave for y'all to see that y'all were incorrect? Mm-hmm. So I think that there was not enough debriefing and processing mm-hmm. done before she decided to turn around and come and, you know, start stretching, moving mirrors, and start performing. It's great. It's beautiful. I'm glad they still got to perform, but absolutely mm-hmm. would have been on their heads just a little bit more about that.
I agree. Like I said, everybody would have got beat with a pillow before I left.
Yeah.
And then probably also when I came back, just for good measure.
I would have had it in my carry-on.
Yeah. For me, I got to take it back to the first film. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I remember being very confused just from like a consistency standpoint when, you know, the girls came downtown, Toto created the gridlock, they got him out, and then they all walked away, sang their song. Before they sang their song, oh, I thought you guys went to go do the global get down. Girl, we would never do that.
But you said you would.
Like, you was really arguing real, real hard about giving it a shot. At which Galleria left for the first time. Because the second time was in Spain. The first time was at the record studio. Def Duck Records, excuse me. And so I was really confused also from the lack of a debrief. Because it's like, everybody was like, the Cheetah Girls are over. What did y'all lead us to believe? She left the meeting. Y'all did not talk to her. And now y'all just happen to be here because Toto was on the news. Aqua, you said, I'm here for Toto, not for you. Okay. Great.
She should have smacked her right then.
Like, in the cement. Like, put her in the hole. So I was really confused because I was like, why wouldn't Galleria think that the Cheetah Girls were over? Like, here's our heart and soul and our vision. Y'all talking about, let's think about it, to something that is diametrically opposed to our heart, our soul, our vision. You either dance with the devil or you don't. Like, so the fact that we're even entertaining such nonsense, of course, to me, again, I don't know much about algebra, but 1 + 1 = 2. Mm-hmm. So clearly, if you were exploring the global get down, you are not interested in being Cheetalicious, which is your business. But why would I not believe that the Cheetah Girls were over? So for me personally, had I been her, they would have, like, if I'm being so honest, because I definitely would have been petty, especially if I was a 14-year-old and I had the resources to do it, I would have been in the talent show.
Okay.
I would have been in the talent show the same way she whispered in Derek's ear for his guitar solo. Guess what? Now we're doing an acoustic ballad of... yeah, of Cheetah Sisters, but now it's a heartbreak song. And I'm still going to win. And I'm still going to get my record, my demo opportunity, excuse me. And I'm going to get my man. Mm. Yeah. So.
Because we were sisters. We stood together.
We made up one big family, but everything has changed. Like.
They wouldn't have known what to do with that.
Okay. Okay. So, anyway, that's what I would have done differently. Mm-hmm. And then if I could think about the second movie, because, ooh, y'all know I'm a Mediterranean girl now at heart. If that wasn't clear from the Instagram and my heart and my soul and my other episodes when I visited Spain, done differently. I would have left them. I wouldn't have left Europe. I probably wouldn't have left Spain. I would have found where Angel was at. Again, I would have went to the festival, performed my song. And I would have, if I could, get access to the loop pedal. And so I would have, like, live sang everybody's part in the 4-part harmony, like, right there, recorded it, press play, and then been singing and harmonizing with myself in that space. Mm-hmm. Angel to my right with the guitar solo, his uncle on the trumpet in the back. I still would have got Joaquin and his dancers to do what they needed to do. But it just would have been me up there. Or if I wanted to plot twist, I would have stole Mighty Soul.
And really make some shade.
You know what I'm saying? But either way, we still would have performed. I still would have had the Euro summer of my dreams. I still would have won. And then afterwards, I'd be at all the Cliff parties. Afterwards, I'd be with my mama at the fashion studio watching her fulfill her dream that she let go of to have me. And then go back home for the hottest senior year that anyone has ever seen. If the girls want to talk, we can. But no one's going to be upset at me for doing what I came here to do.
That's it.
Anything you would have done differently from movie one?
From movie one, I probably would have pulled Chanel to the side and really like checked her on some real best friend type of stuff because she really did turn her back on her twice.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not gonna fly.
Yeah.
You crossed me, you lost me.
Yeah.
And for her to not have addressed that, I think it goes back to like the debriefing. We talking on the side, you my best friend. They had numerous opportunities where it was just the two of them on the side chatting. Mm-hmm. But at no point was it like, friend, are you with me or are you against me? Because it's feeling like you're against me. So I think that in movie one especially, Galleria was so committed to the success of the Cheetah Girls that she was not caring enough about her own success, her own boundaries,
right?
Personally. So I definitely wish that she would have checked her best friend, the person she started the group with. Like, you mad about this, but me and you started this together. Shouldn't you be on my side and we should both be mad at those whores?
Yeah. Because where's the loyalty?
There's none.
Speaking of those two. Favorite quotes, favorite scenes, favorite songs from the film?
One or two.
Anyone. Both. All.
Fuego, fuego.
No.
No, not that one.
Right? It's a banger, but doesn't apply.
No, right. Okay. favorite quote, and I might be misquoting it, but the cheetah is the fastest and fiercest feline in the jungle. And I felt that in my soul when I was... what, six?
Yeah.
Because I was like, exactly. Immediately, I was like, I too am a cheetah. Like, I get it.
It's so simple.
Because by that age, I was a diva. Like,
yeah.
Everybody knew that. My dad was calling me a diva. My mom knew, like, fierce was it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I thought that they were actually talking to me directly. Cinderella, absolutely one of my favorite songs. Strut,
yeah,
it's the model thing,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, Strut definitely got it.
Yeah,
that is what like I listened to because I had the CD in my Walkman, and then I put it on my MP3 player, a little ugly MP3 player too. It was like a bug.
Yeah,
I was model walking to that at like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, not seven. When did Strut come out?
2006.
Yeah. So.
Nine.
I was nine. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Young.
Yeah.
All of this before 10 is crazy.
Right.
But no, I was actively doing my model rehearsals to the soundtrack from the Cheetah Girls. Yeah. One and two.
Yeah. Crazy how you knew all before 10. For me, wow. I mean, at my old job, somebody put the song Girl Power up on the TV and I did it in front of everyone. No one asked me to, but just kind of felt like I had a duty. I think that was the first, that was the first song I learned for the sake of rehearsals, in my bedroom by myself and then with friends. Because throw your hands up if you know you're a star. You better stand up if you know just who you are. Like, very clear instructions.
Never give up.
Never say die.
Girl power.
Comma, girl power. but I, like, there was a time that I could perform the film, but, you know, I could give you each of the main songs from the first film with the corresponding choreo. Now I'm operating at like 70%, but there was a time I was at, you know, a 6-year-old's 100 for sure. favorite quotes. I've been quoting the Cheetah Girls a lot this year, especially. So, of course, Galleria's after the party in the opening and the pinata falls and they get candy in their hair. Baby, I take a whacking and keep on smacking. Like I said, that was poetry. When I first heard it, like, real bad. Anytime I have a skinny ponytail in my hair, I do that. I don't take a piece of candy out the hair, but, like, I do brush my hair like I got a piece of candy in there.
Then you keep on smacking.
Yep. I quoted Galleria again at a Galentine's Day dinner this year for the camera. Everyone was going around saying something. What do you have to say to the camera? And I said, you tell Jackal Johnson that the Cheetah Girls are unavailable. Because, period. Because why are you calling me now after we won the talent show? You could have had this, but you fumbled. Stupid. You didn't see the vision. Back to the point, anyway. Most of my quotes are probably going to be from the first movie, to be honest, because it was really... Ooh, it was really, like, direct from the book. If y'all ever read the book, it is for children. It's for children. But, ooh, like, the take a whack and keep on smacking, like, it is full of phrases like that. And they're, like, quite literally, like, Galleria's, like, isms. When she was crying to her mom after the Cheetah Girls were over, because, again, you gonna expect me to believe Cheetah Girls not over? Galleria came home crying. And she said, Mom, you either walk with the devil or you don't. I said, now y'all preaching. And it's Disney Channel movie. Because she's right. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Hey. Or the interaction with her mother again. What good is eating your vegetables if you can't have dessert? And Lynn McPhill said, strong bones and teeth. And then Galleria turned around and, like, screamed and went to her bedroom.
Wow.
Etched into my brain.
And when you said strong bones and teeth, I heard it in her voice.
Yeah, right. You know, ooh. Side note: don't we all want what Miss Galleria Garibaldi had and her parents? Like, do we not want a lover like so to have me posted up in a townhouse on the Upper East Side, let me pursue my dreams while he cook Italian food? I don't know.
On his dime, like,
you know, like,
he had bread.
He sure did. But separate conversation, separate day. I'm trying to pick one from the second movie. You know, the quotes are, they're more realistic, so they're less iconic.
Right.
I
don't think I have one.
I don't. Me, I'm a sunhead.
You stupid.
But of course, sorry, back to movie number one. If he can't respect my art, he can't have my heart. Because again, that's gospel.
I just need you to respect the hustle, respect the grind. That's it.
All of it. So, okay, final piece. Want to project a little bit. Again, I didn't see the third movie. I remember they alleged that she was in college and that's why she couldn't go to India. So y'all was in college? Where do you see her now? So let's say we finished the New Voices Festival. The girls won in Spain. What happened to Galleria?
She went solo, baby. Because the Cheetah Girls have proved unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, if I'm thinking about myself,
mm-hmm.
if I'm thinking about who I was back then, who I am now, where would she be? I genuinely think that she would be on her own, independently singing. I think that if she wasn't that, she would be managing someone,
mm-hmm.
and, like, managing well, mm-hmm. like, doing very well for herself and whatever it is that she's doing. Possibly managing a young girl group,
mm-hmm.
just like the Cheetah Girls,
mm-hmm.
but doing it in a way where no one is sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and running a tight ship so much so that she breaks the bank.
Right.
But also knowing me, she does both.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real. And I haven't finished the book series, so if there's tea about this at the end, I didn't get there yet. So don't come for me if you did read it. I agree with both of those. I agree that I really, okay, picture it. I think, you know, it's Sicily, 1929. I think that the girls would stay friends and they would still perform through until it's time to graduate. And I even think that they might be courted with opportunities, maybe like anywhere between 1 to 3 actual real, like, hey, you know, like, this is it type opportunities. And because of her experiences, both lived and stories and lessons from others that she's kind of taking in, as well as, if I'm accepting the, she went to Oxford or whatever lore excuse they gave for the third movie, I would say that she does, in fact, change her mind from that first movie when she said, some people don't even go to college, Mom. And she said, no, actually, I do want to go to college. Internationally, of course. Study business. Pursue the music thing. And then along that way, find herself. I think, you know, she would still definitely be performing. And she would have to do it solo because the Cheetahs aren't with her in Europe. so I think she would be performing solo. I think she would see just how much work it takes to be solo. Not that she can't do it. I think she could do it. But I think she would make the pivotal decision, like, for herself of, like, what her solo artistry would look like.
Mm-hmm.
I think there would be a space where she was getting into her songwriting bag and was, like, you know, doing a lot of songwriting on behalf of other people, right? So still very much in the entertainment space, just not all the way the same.
Come on, Leon.
As she maybe thought, you know, before. Still performing when and where she can, but I think that as time goes on, it would become, performing as a solo artist would be less of a priority for her. And I think songwriting and then transitioning into management would be more in line with her young 20-something desires, and then that developing. I definitely see her, again, being a top-tier student of the Matthew Knowles, Dr. Maddie Mae Clark, Joe Jackson School of Management.
Okay.
For sure. But again, in a, you know, with the feminine touch, with the loving little bit of, you know, hey, listen, I get it, but also get your shit together. And definitely being responsible for the next generation of Karma's children or Cheetah Girls or whoever. But coming from a place of, she did this herself too as a teenager and as a young adult, and she's had her hands in a lot of different facets
mm-hmm.
of the industry. So she's coming from a real place, not just, oh, like, we can make money. Yeah, y'all gonna make money anyway because there's a commitment to excellence here, but also because she's been in all of these spaces. She knows the tricks, she knows the games, and she can set you up for success without those unnecessary barriers.
But I don't know that she would have kept going with them singing until school was over. And the only reason I say that is because when you're met with such an opportunity like that, there are so many other things. And maybe I'm thinking with my 2023 brain, but I'm thinking something like that happens, and now Doe has this great experience to go make real big money doing X, Y, and Z dancing, whereas she can't do that with the Cheetah Girls because they're under contract. They have this and that to do. This is guaranteed money. I got to take that. Look at my family. Because she did that before.
Right.
That was like, she has a history of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aqua, not that she wanted to be a cover girl, but literally the opportunity would be right there for her to jump straight into her fashion bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my God, where did your costumes come from?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, actually, she's the one who, you know, got us to where we are with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Chanel, I think that Chanel, because she is not a good best friend, would just fold.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other two ran away, she would not really see a reason to stay.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'd love her to be like, let's just do a duet, I don't think that she would. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would just naturally leave Galleria having to figure out what it is like to be a solo artist.
But that's the same reason I feel the way I feel, because I'm trying to not use my 2023 brain. I'm thinking of, you know, you're in high school. In the same way you're friends with the people you see every day because you see them every day, you have more of a history with, like, these girls, for example. And so it's like you've gotten now into the routine of we're rehearsing, we're performing, da 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 da. But I think because of Dorinda finding opportunities for money, because Aqua being an academic as well as tapping into her fashion bag, this is senior year now, so like you have to make these decisions about what the next steps are. And I think senior year is going to come and it's like, yeah, we're going to be in our routine of, oh, we're still performing and da 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 da. But also I need to actually think about what is next, because this routine is about to end. And I think because they have their history of performing and stuff, and because Gallery is a bulldog, I do think they'd be met with opportunities, but I don't think they would take any of them ultimately. Because Gallery is foresight. It's like, yeah, sure, we could sign this contract and do whatever project, but Doe will not be able to make a commitment. Aqua's not going to be fully into it because she's going to be thinking about something else. I don't really know where Chanel stands. And so part of her decision making is, you know what, let's pass on this opportunity and see where we are this time next year. But really what that means is, I know y'all all about to go do something different. We're not about to make this work in a way that's meaningful. Let's just, you know, save the friendship if, you know, if that's important. Do what we know we do, and then let senior year graduation, let it naturally fizzle out. Because to that, yeah, to that very point, you got to do what you got to do. And Galleria is, I think, the only one out of the four who is uniquely positioned, both resource-wise, family-wise, to let the thing that she, like, what it is she got to do is be a star. Right. Whereas Doe, what she got to do is make some money
for her family. She is survival mode.
Right. You know, and even Aqua, from the first movie, like, we may not have clocked it, but she's always been taking, you know, summer courses at whatever and doing this whole academic thing. She's been on her nerd shit, like, the whole time. And then, again, Chanel has, I don't really know what she want to do.
Be single mom. Oh. Right. No, not be a single mom. No. Like, she, her resources are different because clearly, like, they live in a nice place, but her mom is single. She's drinking, clearly. And, in the first movie, and, you know, priorities are just different. Mm-hmm. I think that they would come off the high and obviously perform a little bit. But I think once school starts, it's going to be a lot of excuses. I think that they wouldn't even get through the whole academic year before the excuses started. Oh, I couldn't make this rehearsal. Oh, I couldn't do this. Yeah, the rest of the summer is going to be fly. That will be it. And I think that, yeah, the friendship would, it would either be like, either I'm just going to let this ride out and it fizzle out, or I'm going to remove myself as Galleria so that I can save my friendship with these girls. But also, especially for Aqua didn't care, for real. So, do I actually care about saving a friendship with her? I don't know. We need to talk about how, you know, this was a terrible group of friends, for real. That's what we need to talk about.
And from what I hear of the third film, disgusting conflict in that the girls were competing against each other for opportunities, and it's like, Galleria ain't been gone 5 minutes, and now y'all went from not participating and focusing on the mission to now y'all fighting each other because you don't have a common enemy anymore. Let's really,
and you feel me, like, tap in.
Let's,
so y'all genuinely didn't like her,
right? Galleria needed a me. We all could have been the Cheetah Girls,
and like, we probably still would have been the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest,
20 years later,
yeah. They would know about us.
Oh yeah,
they would. Best respect, the Cheetah Girls. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's how I feel. I agree.
It's in summation, Galleria is and will always be that girl. She's legendary. We are legendary because we have built ourselves and have grown in that image, you know. And shout out to God for really handcrafting that for us,
you know,
and making sure the opportunities lay out that way. And we also have friends who are not haters.
Yeah.
So that we are able to grow together.
Very important.
Because we all can grow together and grow separate. That's the part that they were missing in the Cheetah Girls. Like, Galleria absolutely would have supported Ja Vision. Because in the second movie, she did. Go ahead, do that. Go ahead, do that. I have no problem with giving you your flowers and cheering you on and what your passions are.
but this is what we're here for. Mm-hmm. So if as a group we're working on a project, we'll work on this project together. Mm-hmm. But when we're out in the streets doing our own thing, I'm going to cheer you on from the sidelines. We as friends can all do that, and that's why we're successful. We'll keep being successful, and, you know, we'll just look at everybody else from the top. That's...
Girl power, comma, girl power. If you listen to this episode and you feel differently, you're wrong. I would say let's engage in a discussion. But I, a discussion about why Galleria was great, to be specific, and why we're great subsequently.
You're not even just wrong, though. Like, you actually should keep your opinions to yourself in this case. Because it's not a good opinion.
Like, don't participate. Mm-mm. But, yeah. If you think Galleria was wrong, you did not... It's not even that you didn't participate in group projects. Like, you shouldn't have been in that class.
Nope, you shouldn't have been in the class. You weren't an athlete. You never competed. You never performed. And if you did any of those things, you were mediocre at it.
You were not good. So I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. And we're not bullying you. And if you feel like we're bullying you right now, you're proving our point. Mm. No, I'm sorry. They gonna snatch my degree.
You don't gotta apologize.
What kind of therapist are you?
You was being real.
No, I am, and this is how I treat other clients. Okay. Too.
Sure. It's called equity.
Okay.
We would be fake if we didn't talk to you the way we talk to each other. What you getting special treatment for?
Right.
Where's the accountability?
Z yelled at me yesterday.
Sure did. I'm probably going to get yelled at tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Balance. Thank you so much for tuning in. Samara, thank you for being here.
Ow!
This long overdue episode is about to be lit. Bow!
Bow, bow, bow! Bow.
Hope everyone has a good night. And we'll catch you later.